On the line now is Richard of the Business Sunday Business Post. Richard, good morning.
Good morning.
I suppose we all guessed that everything that has emerged here in the last couple of days was going to go down badly in Germany. The only surprise is that the reaction in the newspapers in Germany is, if anything, worse than people might have expected.
I think it is. Yeah, I mean, Der Spiegel magazine, you know, has had a bit of a go at Ireland, I think, in relation to the bailout, but nothing particularly bad, as Derek pointed out. And for a newspaper like the Frankfurter Allgemeine to have a go, it really does affect things. The answer to that has to be that if we'd actually had a proper inquiry, if we had actually made transparent and open conclusions and made findings against individuals, which we should have done by now, we'd be out the far side of all this. So the actual reality is that we're still at the very beginning of the process, and the Taoiseach is talking about setting up an inquiry now. So we still have all of that criticism to face at this very, very sensitive juncture when we're trying to get out of the bailout programme and improve the terms of what we've got so far.
And the difficulties begin with, maybe it's an opportunity, but it's the difficult. The Taoiseach has a difficult job ahead of him when he goes to meet Angela Merkel, Chancellor Merkel, tomorrow. Anyway, let's move on to this question of an inquiry, when and if and under what terms and conditions it might actually start. Before we get into this with you, Richard, let's talk to some people who have a particular interest in this. You may remember a report on the programme yesterday about the play Guaranteed, the topical play, which looks at the build-up to that night in 2009 of the bank guarantee. And in Blanchardstown last night at the Dreacht Theatre, the Minister for Social Protection, Joan Burton, was at that play along with another interesting guest from whom we'll hear in a moment. But Joan Burton, first of all, our reporter Petula Martin spoke to her and asked her what she thought of the Anglo tapes so far.
I have to say, I have been just shocked and appalled at the tone and at, if you like, coming back to something that is now some 5 years ago and listening again and reliving the kind of debate and what the country and what the then government did in relation to Anglo, because Anglo and Irish Nationwide cost $30 billion to bail out, and that's really what the country is still paying for. What struck me as well was we're listening to these tapes, and yet we've never heard, for instance, some of the people say who are currently front benchers for Fianna Fáil, who were members of that government. There's nothing to stop them coming out and actually telling us all exactly what happened. And I think it's really reignited people's absolute sense of frustration and anger that we still don't know exactly what led Fianna Fáil to the fateful decision that they made.
And people do want to know, as you say, but there are concerns among the opposition, particularly Fianna Fáil, that a banking inquiry by the Oireachtas would have limitations. Do you agree?
Well, there's a lot of work being done at the moment in relation to legislation to provide for a properly structured bank inquiry, which again will get to what I think people want to know. They want to know what actually happened. Now, quite a number of the leadership of Fianna Fáil in the Dáil can help the country hugely by just coming out and saying what actually happened, what was their role. In the play tonight, we're listening to the famous incorporeal, as it was called, cabinet meeting by telephone. Well, there's three or four people sitting in the Dáil on the Fianna Fáil benches, and the leader received that telephone call. Can he tell us exactly what happened in it? Can he find a mechanism to just come forward and say what happened and what did he know?
But in terms of a banking inquiry, you're saying you want Fianna Fáil to come out and say what they know in relation to it. But would that be enough? Is there not a need for an inquiry with more powers than an Oireachtas inquiry?
Oh, well, I think Fianna Fáil doesn't even need an inquiry to come out and say exactly what happened. They could volunteer to do that without an inquiry. Obviously, you know, the government offered people a referendum in relation to Oireachtas inquiries. The people in their wisdom chose not to go down that route. So by the end of this current oil session, by the end of the summer, we will have legislation that will provide for an Oireachtas-based inquiry. I think we have to bear in mind that sometime next year, we hope that the court proceedings in relation to some of the parties involved in relation to offences under the Companies Act and various inquiries being carried on by the Office of the Director of Corporate Enforcement and the Garda queries, which are going on now for several years, the information that's available is that that's likely to come before the courts next year. I think it's important that, again, that happens, and again, that the people find out what actually happened.
On another banking matter, there's concern about confidentiality agreements by lenders. Should the banks not be telling us why they need these confidentiality agreements?
Well, I think that where the banks are engaging with people who have difficulties in relation to debt, that that's going to be oversighted by the Insolvency Services of Ireland and obviously also by the Minister for Finance. So I think that that's an issue that the banks, again, need to come forward and explain to people why they're doing that. Obviously, in quite a number of cases, confidentiality agreements actually protect debtors because debtors want their confidentiality respected. But equally, I think it's important that debtors have as much knowledge and as much detailed knowledge of the procedure, because it's only if they have the detailed knowledge that they can make the decision that's sustainable for them and that's best for them and for their family.
To your own portfolio now, how are you getting on in your attempts to persuade Fine Gael ministers not to cut welfare in the budget?
Well, I think that there was an agreement from early on in the life of the government in relation to both taxation and social welfare. I would make not just an argument about the 1.4 million people in Ireland who rely on social welfare for an income and their dependents, including their children. I would also make to my colleagues the economic argument that this is 20 billion that circulates into the Irish economy. In fact, it's the single biggest stimulus of all. And it's, if you think about it, there isn't a shop in Ireland, there isn't a street in Ireland with shops in Ireland where people who receive income support from my department don't go out and spend it. We're doing very well as a country on foreign direct investment. Everybody knows, though, the domestic economy and retail is not doing as well as we would like it to do. Social welfare is an enormous factor in keeping spending up, and that's really part of the discussion that I would be having.
Minister Joan Burton talking to Petula Martin, and she also spoke, Petula, to another very interested playgoer at last night's performance of Guaranteed, the play that is, in Dreacht last night, the Governor of the Central Bank, Patrick Honan.
Can I get your reaction to the play Guaranteed?
Really enjoyed the play. It's humorous, but it's also very realistic, and there's great pace and excitement to it, actually, surprisingly, because we know the story so well. So I really thought it was a great idea for him to do it, and I think it pulled it off very well. I found myself, even though I know the story so well, I found myself tense through it and going through that time again, although I wasn't a participant. But I noticed a lot of people seemed angry.
There are calls for a banking inquiry. Where do you stand on that?
Well, I think this is going to come. I'm actually looking forward to it.
And that's the Governor of the Central Bank speaking there to our reporter, Petula Martin. Richard Curran of the Business Post, Sunday Business Post, is still on the line. The Taoiseach says it's going to go ahead. The legislation to make it possible, or more possible at least, is going to go through the Dáil before the summer. And Patrick Honan says he's looking forward to it. Are you? And if so, to what exactly and when?
Well, I'm not overly optimistic about, the success or the ability of an Oireachtas inquiry to achieve, you know, what people would feel as a satisfactory outcome. The problem is that we seem to have got everything wrong at every step along the way. At the beginning of the crisis, there was a suggestion that there should be a High Court inspectorship, and I know that the Labour Party and Joan Burton were calling for that.
But when the Gardaí went into Anglo-Irish Bank, they stopped and said, well, the Gardaí are there. And that's been a very long, difficult process with a very heavy burden of proof, which may have particular outcomes or may not. We had a commission of inquiry, which Patrick Honohan did part of, into the failure of regulation. But if you look at the main part of that commission, it had very, very strong powers. Set up in 2004, these guys could go into somebody's home with a search warrant if they felt that that person was withholding information or documentation. But they chose, under the Nyberg Commission, not to name anybody. They chose to grant full anonymity in the interviews that they were giving because they said that they were looking into system failure. They also did have the powers to make findings of fact against individuals, which emerged in the evidence, but they chose not to go down that road. So we failed there. That was an interesting but, you know, inadequate report. As we face into this process now, I think that the pitfalls of Oireachtas inquiries, notwithstanding the Abbey Lara judgment, and there are questions as to whether or not individual bankers and various other people will go to court and question how they're going to be treated by this inquiry, there is the problem that this could descend into a party political semi-farce. I mean, in one sense, you know, Fianna Fáil and their role in creating the financial monster boom and bust is well known and should be on the curriculum in schools. But equally, Joan Burton's suggestion that perhaps all of these Fianna Fáilers should come out and engage in a truth commission without the commission doesn't necessarily seems to me to tee things up for a party political slagging match. And that's not going to serve any good at this stage.
There is, I suppose, one possibility that remains, whatever about a commission and the limitations on it. Some of them, of course, imposed by the electorate when they rejected an opportunity to strengthen parliamentary inquiries, which, of course, don't cost anything. That's one of the, or cost practically nothing, one of the attractions. But they got the opportunity and they said no. But at least there is the prospect of putting people into the stocks, whether they're former ministers or former bank executives, and giving them a hard time. In other words, basically, how dare you? How could you possibly have done this? What possible reasons did you think of the effects and so on? That would be satisfying, wouldn't it, at least?
I think it might make a lot of angry members of the public feel good. The Germans might enjoy it as well. The question is whether it would provide answers that would be useful. And one of the difficulties with Oireachtas inquiries or Oireachtas hearings in general is often the news reports and the newspaper headlines are made up of the question that is asked rather than the answer. Now, I know that for a very serious investigation like this, it would be conducted on a more serious level and they would be trying to get answers. But I would feel at this stage that so many things have been gotten wrong in the process. This is really the last shot. This is the last crack. And we are better off to have this than not to have it at all. People deserve answers. There has not been a single forum, whether it be a civil court, a criminal court, a public inquiry, where people could read or see the version of events that a senior banker in any of the banks has about what happened. They have been deprived and denied that while taking a huge amount of austerity partially linked to that. Yes, the inquiry, if it goes ahead, and it should go ahead, will achieve that, but it isn't going to be what it should or could have been in finding answers and bringing true accountability.
And I suppose what the final point, Richard, is, and the obvious point for probably everyone in the country, is there are criminal prosecutions pending against three executives in Anglo, and the Taoiseach said yesterday that the Gardaí had done their job about other matters, and the results of that have been, are with the DPP. The books of evidence, he understood, he said in the Dáil, are being prepared. That's really what people want, is they want to see more than anything else this tested in court.
Yeah, I think that, you know, a court outing in relation to it, where people, irrespective of the outcome, get an explanation, you know, as to what went on. But the other thing, Cathal, as well, is that Enda Kenny mentioned about, you know, the government and the relationship between Anglo and Fianna Fáil at the time. What about the relationship and level of knowledge that senior officials in the Department of Finance and in the Central Bank had? That is a very, very painful process that we have got to go through if we're going to get any kind of accountability or transparency.
And we should mention just one other word that he used in the Dáil yesterday, which certainly German note-takers or online readers will have paid attention to, the Taoiseach talking about collusion. as he put it, an axis of collusion between Anglo-Irish Bank and Fianna Fáil. This is
the
previous Irish government.
It's
a very serious charge.
Was there collusion in relation to the Department of Finance? I'll give you one very simple example. Listen to the tapes about the $7 billion that Anglo was looking for from the central bank. Anglo-Irish Bank shares were still being traded. They were traded on the stock market for international investors to come along and buy or sell them. While the senior executives were down in the bank saying, we need $7 billion, we probably need more, the central bank was wondering, are we going to prop this bank up or not? It was clearly on the brink. And the shares continued to be traded in international stock by international investors for months afterwards.
All right. Well, 5 years on, there's still a lot of questions to be answered. Richard Curran of the Sunday Business Post, thank you.